Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean Danny Boy. How are you, man?
I'm just getting over the hang over of the excitement of our 150th episode. It's all downhill from there. And by there, I mean episode one.
I was going to say, it was downhill at 150. That's some optimism right there.
Well, I mean, if we're still continuing the same downhill slope from episode one to episode 150, then yes, it's downhill from there continuously. It's not a different hill. It's just still downhill.
True. It's the thing is we could always go down. It's not like temperature where it goes down, but it feels the same. It always could get worse and feel worse. It's like negative infinity. We're not there yet, but we'll get there in another 150 episodes.
And then you have to add in the extra crappiness of the wind chill factor that is our show. You know, it's like it's 0 degrees out, but it's negative 50 with wind chill. That's our show. We're like, we're at a horribleness level of zero, but just add that bonus level of wind chill.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, it's been pretty ridiculous, Danny. Are you staying alive now that all these warm states are starting to get more infected with the corona?
I actually posted something, funnily enough, like midweek on Facebook about that, saying it's like, it's weird. Like the people that knew what I meant liked it, and then the people that misunderstood what I meant also liked it, because it was like. Like, it's a good thing heat kills the coronavirus, or else we'd be seeing spikes in Arizona, Texas, and Florida. And so the people that, like, are like the wear a mask, stay away from people are like, liked it. And then the people that are like, coronavirus is a fraud to get Donald Trump out of office, they also liked it, thinking that I was being serious, that there was actually not a spike in those states.
Sometimes people don't realize that there are sheep in a flock. Captured.
Well, it's weird because the people that are like everyone's a sheep, I guess, but to different masters.
That's fair.
Well, actually, I can't say that anymore. To different shepherds. But like when the conservatives are like, all these liberals are sheep because Fox News or OAN told me the truth, and it's like, wait, what? And like, I was just reading this thing. There's a taco place in LA that they had opened up, and they're like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to shut down again for time being because we're tired of like our workers having people that refuse to wear masks, like yell at them, throw stuff at them.
Wow.
Threaten them.
What do you mean? So if they wouldn't shut down if it wasn't for coronavirus?
No, they wouldn't shut down if it wasn't for the anti-maskers. Like, they would follow, like, all the social distancing and the wear the mask and get the food to go and stuff like that. But, you know, like, some lady waited in L.A. at a Trader Joe's. She stood in line with a mask on. And as soon as they, like, let her in the store, she took her mask off. And then they, like, told her she had to leave. And then, of course, she made a big old scene and almost had to be dragged out of the store.
Mm-hmm. Should club her. Get the good old nightsticks out.
Right. Or just pepper spray.
No. That gets all over the place. That's messy.
That is true. We don't. But,
I think blood's easier to get out of your coat versus pepper spray.
True. And then I was reading this store, it's a cafe that had the policy of, if you're not going to wear a mask, just take off all of your clothes. All or nothing.
I saw that. That was pretty funny. Oh,
man. But you remember at the beginning of all this when... like college kids were still wanted to do their spring break in Florida and wherever else, and like especially in Florida, they're like, I don't care if I catch the coronavirus. And then like a couple days later, it's like, holy shit, I caught the coronavirus. And all the people were like, oh man, these stupid millennials going to Florida catching the coronavirus. And the millennials are like, dude, do you know how old millennials are? Like we're like 25 to like 35 or what, or like almost 40 now. We're not in college anymore. And so like all the millennials started throwing the Generation Z or the Zoomers as they call them under the bus. Well, now the Zoomers have turned their attention to the Millennials, Sean.
Oh, no.
Talking about all the cringe things that Millennials do, like using the word doggo.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
And it's like, yeah, I might have TikTok dances, but I don't have all of these other things that Millennials do. It's pretty funny.
I mean, I don't know. I never really thought about the whole doggo thing.
Yeah, apparently the Millennials have. The Zoomers have. And just, yeah, right now it's just on Twitter. They're kind of attacking the Millennials. It's pretty funny to see the change of pace.
Well, I'm just trying to, you know, mow my lawn and play some Destiny. I almost said Destino.
You mean, is that when you play Destiny with your doggo?
Maybe. It's just what my girlfriend calls the game.
Destino?
Yeah.
So you're dating, like, does she also call it, or does she also say you're playing the Nintendo?
Well, I feel like that's not fair. Nintendo is an exception to the rule.
What, when old people call every console Nintendo?
Yeah, it reminds me of the comic. It was like a kid was playing a PlayStation, and then, like, the fake mom, like, robot called it the PlayStation, and then the real mom called it a Nintendo.
Yes. Yeah, it was like, there's two moms, and he's like, they're like, he's gonna shoot one, and they're like, you have to pick one. He's like, no, I'm the real one. It's like, what am I playing, or whatever, and it's like, the PlayStation, Nintendo.
Right? Oh man.
So Sean, I heard a little crack in the background. What was that you were cracking open?
From Cape May Brewing, I have Crushing It. It is a orange IPA coming in at 8% ABV. It is a fruit ale bursting with orange juice. So
nice.
It is pretty orangey. I don't feel like the I feel like the hops, like, kind of stand out. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just overanalyzing it, because I don't drink IPAs as much anymore, but I feel like the hop flavor that you get from the IPA does not go well with it. But it has Citra, Mosaic, and Azica, so, I mean, it makes sense, the ones that they did use. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not that big of an IPAs. Maybe that's what it is.
You're changing, bro.
I changed. I changed for the worse, or the best. I don't know. Depends on who you're talking about.
Right.
I mean, it was a struggle this morning, Danny. Let me tell you. So my dad sent a box of beer from Denver, and then D came back from Ohio with a bunch of Urban Artifact. So I have all this beer just sitting in my keyser, and it's really hard to pick what to drink for the show. Cause I'm kind of hot, cause I was outside doing some stuff, so I didn't want to go for the porter. But then I'm trying to ration the Urban Artifact, and so I ended up going with this one. So, but that's my struggle.
You're right, that's my struggle too, because I I bought some beer, or I found, like, there's this brewery up in Northern California, Santa Darius, mm-hmm. and they do, like, farm-style beers and stuff, and so, like, twice a week they post, like, two or three times a week they post, like, they have beers for that you can order, and now everybody's shipping because of the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
and so a couple weeks ago I ordered some, and I got these, like, you know, basically wine bottle-sized beers from them, and then, like, they'll post... Like, either they'll have those kind of those on sale, or they'll have it where you can order just like a big old box of like a variety of like IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I ordered those three bottles, and then I bought some other beer, and then this beer personality, Beer Thug Life,
mm-hmm.
he decided to, he's like he quit his job and he's going to be like focused on beer. So he finally like worked with another brewery out in LA, to release his first beer. And so I was wanting to try it because I've met him once and talked to him. He's a cool guy, and like his social media and stuff is a good follow at Beer Thug Life. But so I went to this bottle shop that I hadn't been to yet in Colton. Mm-hmm. And I ended up dropping like $125 on beer there.
Oh, nice. You know what makes me happy though, Danny? I found like an easy drinking beer that I could finally like buy almost everywhere out here. It is the Vienna Lager from Double Nickel.
Oh yeah, no, that is a good beer. I've had that.
Dude, I didn't realize like when somebody bought me a six pack of it, and I'm like, because typically I'm like, like anything I see lagered, I'm like not. I don't really want to drink it, but man, right. That Vienna one is actually pretty solid. Like, it's just like, that's like, I feel like that's the, my crush beer.
No, it was a very crushable beer. Like, because the only way, when I got it, it was in like a mixed 12 pack.
Okay, gotcha.
So it came with like two other IPAs, that, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
But, so.
Yeah. That was I discovered that during our break, and I was like, man, I was like, this is like game changer right now.
Right, and the first time I had it was when I actually had them for the first time when they were at the Browery West beach party.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up out there, and so I had that in one of their stouts.
Yeah, dude, they make some pretty good stouts, even though they don't really make that many. Those are pretty solid. And then they make some pretty good beer. I know they make like a lot of specialty New England IPAs, which gets annoying, but no, they have some pretty good stuff.
Right, it's pretty funny because they have one beer called Coast to Coast that's a West Coast exclusive beer.
Bastards. Why?
Well, because they want to. I mean, it makes perfect sense because if you're like a brewery coming into an already saturated market, you need something to kind of stand out, and then maybe people on the West Coast will buy it and ship it back east for people that can't get it out there.
Right. No, I'm pretty excited. Me and my Destiny clan, making sure I'm doing this right, are getting ready to are talking about doing a beer club. So that'll be pretty nice. So far we have like New Jersey, North Carolina, and Ohio on the list.
So well, maybe I'll pledge myself to your clan and just for the beer part.
Come on, man! You can just come back, baby. Come back.
Put a pin in that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you know, at the bottle shop that I went to, one of the beers I ended up picking up is from Long Beach Beer Lab.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Milk the Raspberry. So it's basically like they have their farm style beer called Milk the Mustache, and the bottle literally is a dude with like the picture on the bottle is literally a dude with a handlebar mustache, like pulling on one side of it, like milk, like he's milking it.
Yeah.
And so, but this is Milk the Raspberry. It's the raspberry variant.
Nice.
And it was bottled at some point in I'm guessing May of 2018, because it was one of those beers that was double, I had to open it twice. And so on the cork it had 18, and then on the back it says 5/18, and like the last check-in on Untappd was like May of this year, so no one's had it in like 3 months.
Wow.
And like the one friend that I have on Untappd that tried it had it in August of last year.
Hmm.
So it's pretty tart. I mean, they do say it's a tart farm style ale.
Yeah, because usually they're a little bit on the yeasty side, right?
Yes.
Because farmhouse ales use that yeast that really adds flavor to it. That with saisons.
Yes, and it's really good. It's just you just have to know that it's tart. And it says to pour gently, serve at the temperature 43 degrees Fahrenheit,
mm-hmm.
for pot specific. It says to drink fresh, cellar, or store. So I don't know. That's giving me all the options. Just do, basically just says do whatever you want.
Yeah. That's the one thing like I get very concerned on is like there's a shop around here where the beer says like keep in the fridge and it's on the shelf and I'm like, I don't know if I want that.
Right. And there's like a couple of the shops that I go to, and this place was one of them. And, oh, and it's House of Booze is the name of the shop in Colton.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't think of the name of it. I'm like, it'll pop in my head at some point. And it did. But so like there's a couple of them I go into where you walk in the store and it just feels hot. Because they have so many like refrigerators and coolers in there. Right? And then, but then they have like this place actually has like a beer room. We have, and then El Cerrito does too. So there's two of them that have like beer rooms where you go into. And so generally, like if I buy anything that needs to be refrigerated, I'll buy like that's where they keep all the beers in the beer room. And there's a very few beers that I'll buy that are sitting out, unless it's something I know that could like hold up to the constant warmer temperature, I guess. Mm-hmm. It, 'cause it's warmer than cellar temperature, but not quite like outside hot.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, I mean, overall, it's a good beer. You can definitely taste the raspberry. You can smell the raspberry. I mean, that's what you want, right? If something says it's raspberry.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, this is one of the breweries I haven't been out to there yet. Go check it out, Long Beach Beer Lab. So I've been to Brewery West, which technically is in San Pedro, but it's, like, right next to the Long Beach San Pedro, like, docks where you can, like, take cruises.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been to Beachwood Barbecue and their blendery. Which, if you want good barbecue, Beachwood Barbecue is the place to go, man. Beer and barbecue.
Oh, gotcha.
Can't go wrong. And it's like it's like on the outskirts of within walking distance from the convention center. Like, it sucks walking there from the convention center because it's up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 4 blocks up the hill and then like 2 blocks over. But when you walk back, it's not so bad when you're drunk and you're just, like, letting the hill, like, carry you down the hill.
Yeah.
Speaking of hills, Sean, Disney finally has decided to change the theme of Splash Mountain.
I saw that, man. It's, there's a lot of different, things going, getting changed, and it's funny because this one is, I think, from what I've read, they've been talking about switching this one for a while now.
Right, and that's the thing. A lot of the people that are complaining kind of don't understand is, a lot of the stuff they're changing isn't like knee-jerk reaction. It's stuff that they've been wanting to do, but now they're like kind of have another reason to do it, or momentum is pushing them to do it.
Yeah.
Because you know, Splash Mountain's based on a movie that basically they're trying to wipe out of history, that like they don't want to be shown, and like the only way to get it now is to buy like a bootleg copy.
Gotcha. At, like,
something.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's called Song of the South, and the story basically is an old former slave is telling the story to some kids. I guess I haven't seen it for so long, but like, so I don't know who's, if he's telling the story to the audience or some kids, but basically telling about how being a slave wasn't so bad.
Wow.
And so then, like, it goes into animated form, and that's when you get, like, all these different
characters.
Like, the characters in the cartoon and stuff, yes. And so that's basically the ride is, like, the Br'er Rabbit part, which is, on its own necessarily isn't bad, but when you figure out where the source material, probably mm-hmm. not so good then. You know, like, when they're getting rid of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben, the people that want to keep them are like, well, this is just the liberals getting rid of black representation. And it's like, you mean negative black representation? Or just representation in general? Because there's a whole history of, like, the uncle as a, you know, uncle as a slave, and, like, the auntie as a slave. Like, that was a type.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then they're replacing it with the princess and the frog.
Oh, you mean, you know, the first black princess?
Yes.
Oh, dang.
So yeah, they can't really complain that they're getting rid of, removing black culture when they're replacing it with more, you know. And also, like, even if Disney hadn't like banned or forbade this like viewing of this the original source material, like, how many people like know what Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Fox is and stuff, other than like the song is catchy?
Dude, honestly, the only thing I know is that it was a it's just a ride. Like, there's no memory of a show anymore or anything about it. Like, to your point, like, I tried to, like, look up some stuff about it when I heard the news, but it was just, like... I mean, I guess you really have to, like, watch the old movie to really understand where the controversy is. Because, like, just with the song, there's no issue with it. And it's, like, the parts that you do see, it doesn't give you enough context to understand the problem. It's just kind of like, you know, it's him talking to, like, the animated creatures. Like, where are you going, rabbit? Like, there's no context to understand. Because I think, to your point, it's just been so... It's been shut down everywhere to where it can't really come back.
Right, and, like, you know, they changed the Twilight Zone ride, not because, you know, black people, but because Twilight Zone is so old and outdated, like, how many people going to Disneyland know what the Twilight Zone is, especially people from other countries?
Yeah.
You know, but everybody knows what Guardians of the Galaxy is at this point, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, in, you know, years when... Marvel Comics have, you know, movies have kind of faded away and people forgot what they are. They'll rebrand that ride again, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure the same thing will happen with The Princess and the Frog. I'm sure something will come along in however many years, 50 years, that, and they're like, what's this Princess and the Frog? Isn't that old movie that nobody likes anymore? Let's change this ride.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, like, could you ever imagine, like, Matterhorn getting changed or Space Mountain?
Well, I mean, they temporarily changed Space Mountain, but those are kind of generic, like, mountain adventure and space adventure. It's not, like, themed.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and they could just change the animation. Basically, they just changed the animation.
Right, because they did change Space Mountain for a while. They changed it to Star Wars.
Was it? I don't remember. That would probably make sense. I always liked the haunted version of it. That was pretty fun.
Right. So, I mean, they do temporary changes. Like you said, they just had... So they had, like, Death Star... They had, like, the Death Star and, like, the Star Destroyers and, like, TIE Fighter and X-Wing dogfights, like, going on in the ceiling as you were riding the ride and changed the music.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that was, like, the summer of Star Wars. They did California... They did Space Mountain, and then they did one other ride. And then, like, a few years before that, they did, like, Soarin' Over California, the roller coaster in California Adventure. California Screamin'?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, it's, they might even change the name now, but they had California Screamin' and Space Mountain where they had them playing Red Hot Chili Peppers music.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So, again, temporary changes for, you know, and Space Mountain and Matterhorn are just generic space adventure, generic mountain Yeti adventure.
Yeah, the thing I like about Space Mountain is because it's dark, what gives, I think, Space Mountain, like, a really good edge, even though, you know, it's a small coaster, is because it's dark and it's enclosed. And you, unless you ride it, like, every day or something for, like, a long time, you can't memorize the track or where, and you can't see where, what's happening. Like, I think Space Mountain is, like, one of the funnest rides to be in the front. Because I think you get the most action. Because it is a small coaster, you don't have, like, that long train effect to where you can't tell, you know, nothing happens until, like, you know, the rear end kind of gets around. So that's, like, one of the reasons why I think Space Mountain was always, like, one of my favorite rides at Disneyland.
Right. Like, I've been on it where it's, like, broken down and they've had to turn the lights on, and that's kind of, like, no fun.
Yeah.
But they've turned it off. Yeah, I've seen behind the curtain. But even then, like, you know, I didn't go for a few years and went back on it again. I'm like, oh yeah, this ride is fun. What's not fun is standing in that line, though, sometimes.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Oh man, so we watched this anime, Sean. Both of us, we weebed out together, I hope.
Weeb time.
When supernatural battles become commonplace.
Yes, we sure did.
So what did you think, Sean?
I thought it was okay. I feel like the main story is this little harem that's very typical, where everybody likes the main hero and everything, and the whole story always goes around it. It just focuses on the harem. But then, like, what's going on in outside the harem in the world is very interesting. There's a lot of crazy shit happening that doesn't ever get explained, that you need a lot more information on what's going on. And, like, it felt like it was, I felt like it could have been a lot better if they would have tied, if they added more things to it. It just felt like it was like, here's this great universe full of something interesting and a lot of different interesting points about a conflict that's going on. Main character in Harem Group never gets really involved, and you really don't understand what the point of that conflict is. And that's kind of like, I feel like, what took it away is because, like, if they didn't have, like, such an interesting world, it'd just be, like, you know, another harem. But because they have this great, interesting world that they never really talk about or explore, it just kind of is kind of like, it's kind of like a letdown because you're expecting, like, other things to happen besides the harem jokes. You expect there to be a serious story with harem splashed in to break up, like, to break up the seriousness and make and add comedic effect. Kind of like how High School DxD was before it got to season 4.
Right. And, like, for me watching it, like, all that stuff kind of happened. Like, there's, like, the, like you said, the harem at the school, and then, like, there's, like, a couple of different groups outside of the school, like, doing things. And it, to me, it seemed like the first season was, let's establish the core harem and, like, kind of set up that there's stuff going on outside. And then as it got closer to the end, it seemed like if there is a season 2, then it's going to, the worlds are going to collide.
Yeah.
But taking too long, they might not get a season 2 because, you know, people say, like, well, nothing happened. Exactly. Either that or, like, they'll have to go over the top and make it really ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they had, like, an episode dedicated to, like, each girl to, like, establish the relationship. But it just, nothing ever really got tied into, like, there's nothing interesting. Like, everything interesting is not being talked about to, like, make you want to watch. So it's just, like, you get, like, a kind of very just meh harem because there is no other point. I mean, there's definitely, like, funny parts to it and whatnot. But it's just kind of, like, overall, it's just kind of lackluster.
Right. And, like, I also felt this was kind of like the, I guess, the origin movie for superheroes where they, like, learn their superpowers.
Yeah.
Because, like, that whole, like, the whole season, there's, like, a thing going on with him and his hand, mm-hmm. and you realize what that actually is at the end when they kind of have that battle at the end.
Yeah.
But then, did you notice the cameo appearance that was super brief in episode 10?
No, I must have overlooked it.
It was when they were at the swimming pool, and he took the girl that's in elementary school or whatever, junior high,
mm-hmm.
and her friend to the pool, and the friend kept, like, I'm gonna show that this guy's, like, a creep, and then she disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, she ran off, and, like, that big dude's like, are you okay? And she kind of panicked.
Yeah.
And then he comes up, and, like, the muscle dude is, like, yelling at the main character for, like, letting her get lost and stuff, and he turns around and walks away, and that girl's like, oh, man, everything I do makes him just look better. And then, like, they're kind of freeze on her face, and Mako Mankovic swims by the pool in the background.
Wait, who's that? It sounds familiar.
The best girl from Kill la Kill.
Oh my god, no way.
That's... And then... Go ahead.
No, that's just so funny. Now I'm almost like... Now I'm like, I have to go look for it.
It's about the 6.5 minute mark at episode 10.
Jeez, now I'm going to have to go back and take a look.
And then, because in the next episode, there's a scene where there's, like, three characters talking, and the character in the middle is, like, flipping back and forth, following the conversation, and in the same style that the tennis leader did, where they, like, basically, like, make her a paper doll cutout in the animation.
That's too funny.
And then the third reference is one of the characters makes a giant boxing glove, a la the first leader of the Fight Club and Kill la Kill.
That's pretty funny.
But as far as, like, the characters in the harem, I really did, like, at least in the first couple, like, the first episode especially, the interaction between the main character and the redhead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of got a little bit closer as it went on, but when she was kind of just being super snarky with him.
Yeah.
and had no patience for his shit. He just didn't care. Like, he was like, I'm me. I'm a nerd. I'm into this shit. And she's like, yeah, we know you're a nerd. Can you just be quiet, please?
He is pretty over the top.
Yes.
It's pretty funny. No, I thought his character kind of was pretty funny for having, like, for a group that has all these crazy powers and he has nothing, and then he's like the over talkative one. It is pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an act. It's more of a comedy than an action show. So if you're going into it necessarily expecting fighting, then yeah, you will be disappointed. But if you're just knowing that the characters are fun loving and goofy, I don't know. Speaking of one of the things and being disappointed, Sean, Destino.
Danny, I leveled up in the world. I am now a mod for my Destiny clan. How does it make you feel to be in the presence of a mod?
I don't know, dude. I've read some stuff about mods on Reddit. I don't really have that much respect for them.
I feel like all I did was gain an extra channel to talk on. And more, and people may tell me that I have to make raids. I'm just like, you make a raid. I ain't got time for this.
You have responsibility. Like, it's like getting promoted at your job without getting that you're not getting paid for.
That's what I feel like it is.
Because that's exactly what it is. But you do get that exclusive mod channel, so you can talk bad about everybody else.
Exactly. That is true. That has happened. Be like, these fucking idiots. Just make your own goddamn raid.
It's like the royalty talking about the peasants. Let them eat cake.
It's literally just be like, I want a raid. It's like, okay, then why don't you just make like a scheduled raid and then let people join it with you? No. That's too much work.
That's not my job. I don't get paid to make raids. You're like, well, neither do I.
And don't ask me to do it, because we're only going to do the raid I feel like doing.
Right, if I pick the raid, then I get to pick the... It's like when you're driving, you know, driver gets to pick the music, shotgun shuts up, and it's like, why do you guys always pick the raids I don't want to do? Because these are the raids that we want to do? If you want to pick the raids you want to do, there's an easy option. Pick the raid you want to do and do it.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But yep. I came across this thing on Reddit today, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading some of the comments, and it seemed like people were agreeing with this person, this post. Did you see? I don't know if you saw it, but it was basically asking if in the most recent update the characters were made squishier. Because people were like, yeah, raids that I used to be able to like handle with like me and one of my friends, we like easily we're dying on a lot now.
The game does feel a little bit harder. But somebody was saying it might be a connection thing now. To where only, like, certain people are going to feel that way. Because some people say no, some people say yes. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it does feel a little bit tougher. So, I don't know. I almost think, like, maybe there was, like, a balance update and trying to make things harder. So that way they were more challenging.
Oh, and also, Sean.
What?
Can you make your chair more squeaky, please?
I could do whatever you want, bud. There you go.
Because I can barely hear you talking.
I gotta invest in new chairs. We need people to sponsor this show so I can buy a chair.
We'll just ask our main corporate sponsors, aka your parents. The show is brought to you by Sean's mom and dad.
No, but so I guess like I think Destiny came off like one of its worst seasons ever, right? And it is kind of interesting because that I think for the last 3 months everybody was talking trash, and then Destiny had like the final ending in the last season where the ship that was supposed to collide into Earth gets blown up, and it was like an hour and a half like live event that people like watched.
And it started late.
Yeah, that started late. So I kind of feel bad on that piece, but I think I think it could have probably, if they would have just made it like 10 minutes, it would have probably been okay.
Or started it on time.
Yeah, I think people would have forgave it for starting on time if it was only 10 minutes long. It's hard to say. So Bungie announced that they are changing their model, and we're going to get 3 new expansions over the next 3 years. So we're going to get one this year in September, we're going to get another one next September, and then another one in 2022. So we have 3 more years of Destiny 2, and it sounds like you know, it's already going to be available for PlayStation 5, so that's all taken care of. It's hard to say how everything's going to be, because, like, as I'm playing this this season, I got back into it. Nothing feels like it's really changed. I think it's like everybody's playing right now because I think it's all hype from the announcement of all the new content in September. So it's hard to say because I'm like already getting ready to I'm getting to like the soft cap on my two of my characters, and I'm like, well, there's really nothing else to do in this game because like I don't know how much more I just want to grind like this one seasonal thing. And I know like usually during the summertime, Danny, they do like the moments of triumph stuff. So next month in July we'll have all that fun activity to do. But I don't know, man. I think because I know I've already pre-ordered the game. You know, I'm gonna give September a real good go. I guess the question I have too is, you know, are we gonna go back to like where so we'll have like one major release and like a couple random like free events, and then is that it for basically like the year? Because it kind of reminds me of how Destiny 1 was towards the end, because we had like Taken King, and then that was it for like a year, and then we had that I want to say banana because I never call it the same
banner.
Iron Lord expansion pack. Oh. But that took like a year to come out, and then Destiny 2 came out a year after that. So it was like once February, March hit, like the game kind of dropped. Like there wasn't really anything to do besides seasonal event because the content was only coming out like once a year.
Right. Like they're pretty much, they're like, we're more done with this game than you are, and it seems like you guys are pretty done with this game.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty interesting. So this is like, I'm trying to remember. I feel like Shadowkeep was part of Activision. So I know for sure this is definitely the first real independent expansion pack coming out. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. They've also announced that they're basically, they call it sunsetting, but they're going to start retiring certain guns and armor. So basically they can't go into year 4. So that'll be another kind of big change from before, because everybody would just like keep their stuff and then level it up, and so now it's going to force people to find new weapons and stuff. So all the exotic guns are still staying okay, but a lot of the main like legendaries that are overly used are getting like retired, so you can't level them up to past a certain light level.
So they, what you're saying is they learned nothing by how pissed off people got when they got rid of all the weapons between the first and second expansion?
Yeah.
Or in the one Destiny 2?
I feel like that was more of a legit excuse to do, though. I mean,
true.
I mean, how easy is it to make sure that everybody gets their same guns and armor from a different game?
So. Yeah, but people were still pretty salty.
It doesn't. What I've learned is that you can never make anybody happy. There's always somebody angry, no matter what you do.
Right, and you know, like and I'm sure, like, whatever opinion you want to find that'll make you mad, you can find on Twitter. It's like, I want to find someone who doesn't agree with the position that I have, and then I'm going to post that on social media that all these people, that the entire side feels this way. And it's like, you mean like the 5 tweets you found that you had to look for?
Exactly. So this new season, we have a new public event where you basically just kill enemies, grab moats, and you slam it into a bank. So it's very Gambit-like. We also got a new dungeon. I was able to get through the new dungeon, and it actually has some pretty fun mechanics. It does circle around, like, the moat collecting, like, Gambit idea. So you have, like, dark and light moats, and so basically, depending on the lanterns and which one you need to fill, you have to figure out how to create light moats and dark moats. And basically, like, if you're in the shadows and you kill, like, a certain enemy, you'll get dark moats. But if you're standing in the sunlight, then you'll create light moats. So it really challenges your positioning. And the new dungeon has a very Tron-like feel-like to it, is the best way I could describe it. Where there's, like, a lot of lights, there's a lot of... The way they do it is just very... is very Tron-like, or at least inspired. It's not Tron-like, but when I was playing it, I was like, wow, this is definitely feels like it was inspired by Tron, and it's really cool looking. I think it was a really fun dungeon to play too. And the funny thing was they only built this dungeon for this season, and now everybody's like, dude, you guys actually created something fun and unique, and you're gonna only allow it to be here for a season? Like, what's wrong with you?
Well, because they don't want people to realize that they could actually do good content. They don't want to be held liable for their good content.
Exactly. So that part was pretty fun. And one of the things Bungie talked about too is that the game is too big now. Like, whenever they change things, it takes a long time to make new stuff because of how much coding and stuff there is. So we're actually going to lose certain planets and certain events. Like, Gambit is going to go down from 2 game modes to 1 game mode. Mercury is disappearing, and some of the other planets are disappearing, and some of the old raids and strikes and is all going away. So we're only going to be left with, like, content from the year 3 and 4 for the most part as playable actions. So it's kind of interesting. Like, if you never played Destiny 2 and you play Destiny 2, like, where does your character start if, like, the world is gone?
Right, like, if I jumped back in and I needed, like, quests on something. Or, like, I wonder if, like, somebody's playing the game new if that ship is there that they blew up.
Oh, probably.
Because, like, that's kind of something that, like, Final Fantasy XIV did. Like, when it first came out, it was so bad that, like, they basically just blew up the world. Like, literally. And they had an event where you could go and watch it, and basically, like, this giant comet or asteroid came out of the sky and destroyed the planet and killed everybody there. And then they put the game on hiatus for, like, 6 months at least, and then came out with Final Fantasy XIV 2.0 and, like, had fixed all the stuff and changed things and made it more user-friendly and more playable. So, like, Destiny did all of that except without actually, like, fixing anything. They just blew things up and changed things.
Exactly. So that'll be interesting. So the game size should get a lot smaller, and so hopefully it'll be easier for them to add things. One interesting thing that they're doing, and I don't know, I guess, Danny, the question is it interesting or is it lazy? But this fall, we will be able to play Vault of Glass from Destiny 1.
Dude, nostalgia is a hell of a drug, man.
It is, and so my thought is is they're bringing back a great raid. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to say that I'm not excited to get back into Vaults of Glass. And maybe I could finally get Fatebringer and fucking the red, the, you know, M-John and Gecko and Brownie could fuck off finally, because they finally get it. But what is that going to do to the story? Like, we're not going to get an original raid to tie into the expansion pack. We're just going to get an old raid from Destiny 1.
Would it make it better if they actually did change the story of the, like, they kept the same raid, but maybe change the story a little bit to tie it in? Like, retconned it?
Maybe. Because Vault of Glass is very just, like, here's a raid. And usually every raid typically, outside of that raid, every raid had, like, a purpose. Like, even as bad as, you know, the second raid was, like, it was, like, Crota's invading. That's, like, the whole storyline. And then you go into the raid and you fight Crota at the end. Like, it had a purpose. Like, you know, we kill Oryx and then we go into a raid and then we really kill Oryx. So, like, every raid typically has, like, a reason why you're there, where Vault of Glass is really the only one to where it's like, okay, here's a raid, go stand on some things and open the big door and go do some shit.
Shoot some shit.
Yeah.
Puzzle some shit. Win, loot some shit.
Yeah. Dude, I can't wait to get that can opener helmet again for the Titan.
So, you know, this is kind of funny that I brought up earlier about how, like, people were salty that, like, basically everything, all the stuff, the gear that they, weapons they earned in Destiny 1 got blown up. Is this them just appeasing those people by bringing back this raid to bring back stuff from Destiny 1 to loot?
I don't know. I mean, at one point, do you feel like you're just... See, that's the thing I can't answer yet, because I want to see what September brings. But, like, if we don't get a new raid and all we get is Vault of Glass, it almost feels like it was a way for them to, like, cut cost on, like, on resources. Like, how hard is it to update a raid from the first year? Because now, like, you know, everybody's thinking, like, in the new 2021, are we going to get another raid, an old raid there, too? Or are we getting two raids? You know, I don't know. Like, maybe we get an original raid and then 6 months later they drop an update and they open up Vault of Glass. So there's something to do halfway through the year while we're waiting. That would be okay with, because at least they're still making original content. But I don't know. Like, I just feel like if we don't get any new raid, no new dungeon, and it's just like we get some story and then we get Vault of Glass, like, it feels like we didn't really get anything. Because, I mean, this was a $40 expansion pack, Danny. So, like, you know, I'm expecting, like, you know, a decent size activity list of things to do.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. Like, you would, if you're going to spend $40, you want to get $40 worth of content, or at least something close to it. You don't want to, like, spend your $40 and have that going towards, oh, thanks for the $40. We'll use it in the future, we promise.
Exactly. So those are kind of the major updates and kind of where Destiny is at right now, with what's going on.
And yet you still want me to get into it. It sounds like you're just trying to con me out of $40, Sean. I mean, I'd just rather give you the $40 and you can use it towards your chair as opposed to buying more Destiny stuff.
I could still buy more Destiny stuff, man. Don't worry.
No, I meant me. Like, yeah. if I'm not going to throw my money away at Destiny, I'll throw it away. And then I guess if you want to throw it away at Destiny, then that's on you.
True. I mean, you could just be there for all the... You know, think about it. It's $40, so you could join a group chat.
Can't I do that for free?
Probably. I'm sure you could.
I mean, even without the expansion, I'm sure I probably play just as much as probably a good 5 to 10% of the people in the group anyways.
That is true. Yeah, because Brownie barely plays. Gecko's gone, and then Johns is on his soul searching walk. He'll probably come back a week before and ask me to carry him through everything.
You are the John. You are the carrier.
I am the carrier.
Too bad you didn't get called back, dude. He'd be there every day.
No, there's some things left. Better left on Xbox.
There's a reason why you're not playing it on the Xbox anymore. But I've been playing The Division 2, Sean.
So how is Division 2?
Well, I did pay less for The Division 2 and like the year one pass than $40. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got, for $30, I got like the first year add-ons and the game and a steel box. Because apparently the steelbook case, which apparently people really like those a lot. Mm-hmm. When I read things on forums about steel cases. So I've been pretty much soloing it, and I've watched people play on Twitch. I've watched people that I know play Division like in a group. This game, at least for the first part of the main story, and even some of the extra stuff, is pretty awesome game in the sense that you can either play solo or in a group. They give you different skills, and some of the skills are basically single task towards single player, and some are like single task towards multiplayer, like that'll like repair your enemies or whatever, or your allies. But then there's like a couple where it's like has different functions depending on if you're solo or if you're playing in a group. So like one of them is this like ball type shape thing, and if you're by yourself, it'll like basically res you once, like every, it has a countdown of like 3 minutes or 4 minutes, but it reses you. And get, once. And so then, or if you're playing in a group, you can like throw it in an area and have like an area of effect where it heals your allies.
Yeah.
But like, so I went my build that I went with, I had that, and I also had a turret that I would throw up. And so I figured out like, if I threw the turret away from me, like almost in like a flanking position and set it to attack, the enemies will go after my turret, and then I can kind of loop around, get behind them, and just start picking them off from the back. And then they're like, oh crap, he's over here. And they start going after me, and then my turret's picking them off from the back. So it's kind of cool. Like, it's pretty useful to have a turret as a friend, since I don't really have any. I did try to play once with a Man-Thing, and the game was supposed to like level down to whoever was in charge of the room at their level. Yeah. The lower level, except they kept everything at my level, so we're like, yeah, this isn't gonna work, we can't play, because I was like level 30 and he was like level 5.
Mm-hmm.
The story is pretty cool. Like, it's I was playing it with my wife in the room a couple times, and it's like playing it in the middle of the whole COVID thing, where it's like people freaking out about being quarantined, and like some people are like refusing to be quarantined because the government's just trying to control them, and like at one point, the military is like trying to bring supplies to a hospital and stuff, and like the lieutenant or the guy that's in charge of that unit decides, like, wait, why am I putting my men in danger of getting sick and giving up all these supplies to civilians? He's like, you know what? Never mind. Put a bottle back on the truck. We're taking him with us. And the doctor's like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And he just ends up shooting her in the face. And so my wife's like, yeah, I can't be in the room when you're playing this game. It's a little too real. The battle system is pretty cool. Like, there are some areas where I'm sure it's the same problem in Destiny, where it's like, as you're going through like a actual mission level, as opposed to just roaming around the world, they're just like, clear this room, and like enemies just appear out of nowhere. Like, they just start walking out of doors and shit, and it's like, all right, I've killed like 20 enemies, and it's like, oh wait, here comes more. Not that they're necessarily bullet sponges, but they just keep throwing sacrificial lambs at you for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, I don't know what else they could do, but it just seems like that's how they make the game hard, is just making you kill a ton of enemies.
Yeah.
But the weapons, like everything is pretty cool. There's like ways to level up. It's basically like a an upgrade over like Call of Duty or whatever, where you get like the accessories to add onto the weapons and stuff, like scopes and sights and silencers and clips and stuff to affect the weapon's abilities and damage. Mm. You get, you know, armor. It all levels up very much like Destiny. So it's to me, it's almost a better MMO. It does better at the MMO part than Destiny does. Oh, it also does better at the first-person shoot at the shooter part than Destiny does too. Fighting word, Sean. Fight me.
I don't care.
Because you know I'm right.
I just don't know enough people that played what's it called? That played Division? Division enough to matter.
You should, because you should play. I tried to get you to play it, but you're no fun.
That's
I also tried to get you to like take advantage of like when every place like Amazon, Best Buy had a couple games on sale for $10 so that we could like co-op together like in the good old days.
We can in Destiny 2.
We could have done it in Halo or Gears of War.
That is true. That is true.
Like the good old days, Sean.
The good old days. I was just telling a story about us playing Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. How one day it just turned into a contest of who could find and go kill the witch the fastest.
Or who could go and find the witch and stick it on the other person first.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's the witch. She's coming after you. What?
Hey, what should we do with this witch? As I run past throwing the flaming Molotov. This is what we do.
Leroy Jenkins. Oh, man.
Man, that's a fun game. I wish there was a third one.
Right. That's like, forget Half-Life, dude. Bring back Left 4 Dead.
Fuck all those nerds. They're done. They don't need any more Half-Life.
It's been too long, dude. Left 4 Dead was fun, man. That was probably one of the best four-person co-op games ever.
Mm-hmm. Bring it back.
Mm-hmm. But I will admit, though, I still prefer Left 4 Dead 1 over 2.
That's fair.
Like, I just like the... Because to me, I just like the simplicity of it. And then the second one, they just tried too much, I think.
Mm. No, the first one is a pretty fun game.
Just, I mean, it makes more sense in, like, a zombie apocalypse. Just, like, get weapons, salvage weapons and ammo and just try to survive. Versus this one where it's like, hey, we got powers and abilities and stuff. And it's like, why do you have powers and abilities? You're just some random people that... are trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. Except I do like the one character from 2 that was into like the country music and stuff. That guy was pretty funny.
Fair enough.
So one of the movies I watched was A Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski, and starring him and his wife. Dude, it's an interesting take on like, and it's like, at first I thought it was like a zombie movie, but they're actually aliens, and they're blind, but they're attracted by sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty like some like the opening scene is them like going to like a pharmacy getting some supplies, and then they're like walking back barefoot, which is like, wait, I have to walk everywhere barefoot? Just shoot me, just kill me now, like please. But they had made like a trail of sand in front of them to kind of dampen the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Emily Blunt is the wife's name. I knew it was somebody. Basically like any sound like just draws and they just kill you. Like not even like, it's not even a fight. It's just like you're dead. And so, like the movie starts and something happens and then it goes forward like a couple, like a year and a half or a year, 2 years, and they're trying to survive. And she's pregnant, Emily Blunt is, and they're trying to train he's training the son like how to survive just in case something happens to him. But the only thing I didn't like about this movie is you really have to pay attention to it because it is a quiet place, it is a quiet movie, and everything is like there's a couple parts where they find like areas of like loud ambient noises like waterfalls where they can talk, but like 99% of the communication in this movie is sign language.
Yeah.
With subtitles.
Yeah, it's a very quiet movie. It's ridiculous.
But they did announce a sequel.
I do remember them. I do remember them announcing it. So I'd be curious on what's going to happen based off the ending.
Right, because they kind of figured out how to kill the monsters, the aliens, and not everybody survived. So it'll be interesting to see. Oh, and I forgot to mention, when you were talking about when supernatural battles mm-hmm. become commonplace, speaking of sequels being announced,
mm-hmm.
for next year, they announced and confirmed sequel for My Life as a Villainess.
Oh, yes, I remember you posting that. That's, I still have to go back and finish that one.
Me too. I have like two or three episodes left. Or two, and I think I have like 2.5 episodes left, because I started to watch one yesterday and I ended up like falling asleep. So it was late. I'm like, I'm going to watch this first episode and go to bed. And then like halfway through, and I'm like, I guess I'm going to bed right now.
Reading is hard.
It is. But then I watched another Jane Austen movie called Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is basically this like young, rich woman that's never had anything vex her, as they describe it in the opening scene, who likes to set up, basically she likes to become a matchmaker. And as we're watching this movie, I was watching with my wife, we're watching it, and she's like, wait, this is, first she was like, this is Cruel Intentions. And then she was like, later on, and I looked it up and I was like, no, it's not Cruel Intentions. And she's like, oh no, never mind, it's Clueless. And I had forgotten that there was this point, like, around that time when, like, Cruel Intentions, Clueless, and there's a couple, there's another basketball movie with Julia Stiles called O.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the mid-90s, they made all these, like, teen movies that were based on, like, classic literature. So, like I said, like, Cruel Intentions was based on, like, a French book written in, like, the late 1800s. The movie O, the basketball movie, was based on Shakespeare's Othello. And then Emma, I just lost the name of the movie. Was it based on Emma? The one with...
You're asking too many questions, man.
I know. I just said it. But anyways, so that movie, and there's a scene where one of the girls is like, I'm going to play tennis, and she's like, I have a note from my doctor. I just got plastic surgery. I can't participate in any activities where balls fly at my face. And the other girl replies, well, there goes your social life. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting that all these movies that like were based like on old books. But this movie was pretty good. It was pretty funny. I liked it better than Little Women. Little Whammon. The main actress, especially, like, the way she did her role, like, they couldn't have got anybody better. Because there's scenes where, like, she has to react, like, off, like, not necessarily off screen, but, like, behind, she's not the focus of the scene, but she's in the background, and, like, people are talking about stuff that she's done. And just the eye rolls, and just the body, like, how she, like, storms off, and, like, I don't know, man. It's just, it made me happy to watch her, like, silent acting, her non-speaking character
mm-hmm.
was probably a lot better than like some people's like actual speaking lines, you know, in the movie. And then the last one I watched was The Invisible Man, which originally was supposed to be part of the whole MonsterVerse with Johnny Depp starring as the Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so in the original book, the character was kind of a dick, and then he like found a way to make himself invisible, and he was an extra dick after. And so they kind of made a movie based on it. And in the 30s, like when they originally did all the monster movies, and they made it where the guy wasn't that, he was just a dude, but then he took the potion, and the potion made him a dick. And at that time, the author that wrote the book, he was like, No, man. The main character is supposed to be a dick. That's kind of the point of the story. Like, don't blame it on the formula, the potion that made him invisible. Like, he's a dick. And so they did a really good job. The actress and like having to, you know, basically play against something that isn't there. She did a great job. Like, this movie was, I think this movie ended up being better as a standalone movie than if they tried to tie it in with Johnny Depp and make it part of, like, the Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp monsterverse.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I feel like it's very hard to tie certain things in together. I mean, how old is that other movie?
Which one?
The Johnny Depp one.
Well, no, that was the original plan for this movie.
Yeah. Oh, got you.
Like, originally, this movie was supposed to star Johnny Depp, and then they kind of scrapped that between the failure of the Tom Cruise Mummy movie and the fact that at that point Johnny Depp was kind of on the hot list because of the accusation by Amber Heard.
Oh, yeah. No.
But now that we kind of know the truth, you know. So that's one of the movies. That movie is part of the reason why he's suing her for like $10 million.
That's fair.
So.
Cost him work?
Exactly. It cost him quite a few roles. Like, he's not in the they're supposed to be filming a new Pirates movie and he's not in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only one that ironically stuck by him is J.K. Rowling, and she's kind of on the shit list for some of the stuff that she's been tweeting lately, so I don't know.
She's always on the shit list.
Dude, at this point now, like it just pays not to respect any public figures because they're probably all assholes. Because there's a thing coming out, a new hashtag for like wrestling. Apparently, like, some of the wrestlers are dicks backstage, trying to like just bullying like rookies and trying to like force their way with, you know, especially rookie women.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been a few wrestlers that have been released. Some of them in WWE, NXT, Tessa Blanchard, like, she was the first women's champion on Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
And, like, as far as back as like a year and a half, 2 years ago, it kind of came out that she was like a bully backstage and dropping the N-bomb on people, kind of racist and super bully.
Wow.
But then the one that hit me the hardest, Sean, and it's like, this is the point now where I'm like, I don't know if I can like trust anybody anymore.
Yeah.
I you know, it's like when you find your true love and then they break up with you and you're like, yeah, I can't love anyone anymore.
Yeah.
Is Joey Ryan, Sean.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, people have been complaining about him?
Yeah, and like after the whole like Black Lives Matter was kind of coming out, and he tweeted, he's like, hey, if you're like on the side of Black Lives Matter and like you can't get jobs in the future, hit me up and I'll make sure you get booked on bar wrestling. Like, at least you'll have one place to wrestle. And then it's coming out that he's probably not a nice guy either. Like, he's been a bully backstage, and people are like, well, of course, like someone that has like a finisher where it's like somebody grabbing his dick, you know, is a bully and you know, a pervert. And it's like, yeah, but he talks to them beforehand. Like, it's like, hey, do you want to do the dick spot or no? And they could say no. It's not like he forces them to, but apparently he's like just not a cool guy. And like, he was also fired from the same promotion that Tessa Blanchard was fired from. And I don't even know, I haven't necessarily seen an official like anything from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know if they're going to have bar wrestling if it comes back.
Yeah.
You know, when we can actually go to public events, if bar wrestling is going to be a thing anymore, or if he's going to like just sever, like if he's not going to wrestle there anymore or sell it and sever ties with it completely.
Hmm.
Dude, I just don't know if I could love anymore, Sean.
Yep. That's the hard part about loving.
The love is gone.
It is gone. It's a shame. I'm sorry, man. I know you loved your local sweaty man wrestling stuff.
Dude, nothing made me happier than to watch half-naked men get sweaty and hug. Especially if you knew it was, the end of the night was going to end with some dick grabbing.
Oh, I don't really know what to say.
I think that's a good point to end the show then, Sean.
Oh, man. Who knows? Maybe come back for episode 152. Maybe we'll be a little bit more grown up by then.
I doubt it, because we are adults, right?
Question mark.
We are adults?
Maybe. But you know, you can always follow us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook. what else? Instagram, all those fantastic places.
Yes, yes. Untapped, give us a review, because apparently, like, that's supposed to matter for something or else. I don't know.
Things, everything matters.
Everything counts in large amounts, as Petschmidt says.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.